Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, and we begin from the we started the Halacha Zayin, or the Mishnah, last year, and that was talking about where if someone is entrusted with something, they have to do a proper level of Shmirah, and if they don't do a high level of Shmirah and it's lost, then he's negligent and he's chayv. You think that's straightforward. So that's what the Gemara now. Hamaf Gidmar Etzachaveira Amar Rabbi Yossi, Petishma Mina Bardash Diab Lechavrei Plitorin. Now, Plitorin is some sort of precious, expensive jewel, it sounds like. And he gave it to him in the marketplace, which is not exactly the best place to start pulling out huge wads of cash and large gems and, very expensive things. And mas, if that situation, masan bino bino aktanim, and if the person then gave it to his young children, it was stolen or lost, then patu mishalem. Why? Shani omer lo alta al dato liton pilotrin bashuk, sorry. That why is he doing, in other words, what's he doing delivering or handing over such an expensive thing in the middle of the marketplace? So I'll just read the Mar folder. He says, since this is something really requires proper protection, what's he doing giving it to him in the middle of the market? It's a place that's really susceptible to interesting people coming and taking it from him. He should have brought it, if he was really concerned about its welfare, he should have brought it to his house. Because the owner himself wasn't concerned with its security when he at the place he handed it over. Afimashomer, therefore, even if the shomer now gives it to his young child to look after it, then it's considered livnot, then it'd still be patur. What a chiddush. What a tremendous chiddush, it's saying in the Gemara. In other words, normally we'd say giving it to your young child to look after, that's considered negligent. But if the handover was in a place where the owner himself wasn't concerned about its security, and in that location, which is he had it over in the shuk, he should have delivered to his house if he's so concerned. Means that there's no the burden of responsibility is not sorry the lack of shmirah by handing over to a young child is not it's still considered patur because it's almost like the owner wasn't concerned about its shmirah. That's the chiddush of this sugya. I think
To
it's a chiddush.
assume that they're not ganavim there doesn't equal the irresponsibility of getting to children who can simply
I
do
know.
so.
I 100% agree with you. You could argue the other side. You cannot say yes, the owner was negligent, but what's it? What, why say why? Why you? What gives the right for the shomer to be negligent, right? But the sense seems to be that by being negligent at the handover, he's given. A, he's like it's foregone the responsibility of the shomer in that location. Let's put it that way. That's what it sounds like. That's why I said it sound like a bichidosh. Okay, let's continue. Matai amru shomer chilam nishba biyotze. When do we say the Shomer can simply make a shvuah that he wasn't negligent and that's it? Bizman shimer b'kederach hashrom. That's when he looked after it properly. Na'al kara'ui, kasha kara'ui, he locked it up properly, tied it up properly, na'al pundato. A pundato was like a money purse, but it used to be like a hollow belt, a long hollow belt which they put the money inside. So that's considered proper. Tsar basino, he wrapped it up in money, but he didn't put it behind his back, but he put it in front of him, shlach lefanav. Na'atam bashita put it in a chest or a cupboard of some sort, the table, migdal, and it was stolen or lost. Then chayev b'shvuah, yes, he has to make a shvuah that he wasn't negligent. However, he's exempt from paying because he did the proper level of shmirah. V'im yesh einim shasaken, if there are einim that he actually looked after properly, then he doesn't need a shvuah. In other words, he's already got einim to show that he wasn't negligent in his care. Na'al shelo karoi, if he didn't lock it up properly, kashar shelo karoi, if shilan l'acharav, or he put it behind his, he carried it behind him, it's not considered proper shmirah. Na'atam b'rosh gagoi, puts on his roof, and nignavol chayev l'shelam, is considered negligent in his care. Now, this is an interesting case. What happens if he places it in a location where he would normally put his own things? The Gemara says, well, it's irrelevant what he would do for his own things. You have to objectively have a look. Im haya ra'ui l'shmirah, patur. Im lo, chayav. Meaning, if this is considered a protected place and something happened beyond the control, it wasn't negligent, then he's patur. Otherwise, he's chayav. Despite the fact that's how the shomer would look after his own items, doesn't make a difference. Okay, let's continue. That's how I understood it, referring to the shomer. Let's say that this is now halacha chet. Let's say he's entrusting money to a shulchani, a money changer. If they're bundled together, the money, then the shulchani has no right to use it. If it's just handed over money, then yishtamesh, which is very much like a bank. For example, when you hand in money to the bank, you expect to get your money back. The bank actually uses that money to loan to other people for investments, whatever the bank does. And when you get asking money back, they give you different money. So a shulchan is a money changer. If you give him straight cash and you didn't put it in like a term deposit or bundle together, not a term deposit, in like what a safety deposit box or something, then he has a right to use it. However, if you give it to a balabayit, Doesn't matter if it's bundled or not. A bala bayit is not understood, is not allowed to even use it. Ben kachol ben kachol lo yishtamesh b'hem. However, what about a shopkeeper? So the question is, a shopkeeper is not a bala bayit. A shopkeeper needs money, but it's not a money changer. So that's where you've got a debate. Chenvani kabala bayit, Rebbe Meir says it's like a bala bayit, so therefore, whether it's bundled or not, he cannot use it. Rebbe Yehuda says it's like a shulchan because a shopkeeper also has a lot of fluid money that's going through, and therefore the understanding would be if it's not bundled, then the shopkeeper could use it. Now, because he can use it, we'll discuss that in a minute. The Gemara says, Hamafkin, by the way, sorry, the Girus in the Mishnayot that we don't have here is, the when I say the Mishnah we have as opposed to here, is when it says mushtemish, when it says mutarim lishtemesh bahem, in the Shinur Nuscha, you can see, lafichach im avdu chai bachrotan, meaning that if he's not allowed to make use of them, meaning it was all bundled together in the case of like a shulchani, then if something happens, it was lost or stolen and he wasn't negligent in his care, then he's patur. However, if it was just straight cash and he was allowed to use it, then it'd be chayev. Why? Because as soon as he can use it, he becomes what's called a shomer sachar. He's basically deriving benefit from the fact he's looking after it, and therefore you've got a heightened level of responsibility to chayev ba'aveda, ganeiv ba'aveda. Okay, now what I've just shared with you is what is missing in our Mishnah. That if you've learned Mishnahs, you'll probably notice. By the way, there's a few differences in Mishnahs we're going to be seeing, which is really interesting, especially when you get to the next parak. Hamafkid ma'od etzel shulchani. Now the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bari, Matsurim. What does it mean, bound, like the money's bound together? Does it mean it's also with a seal, b'chotem, or tsurim shelo b'chotem, or it's just simply bound together without a particular protective seal, if you like? In tema b'chotam, if you're talking about a seal, then shelo b'chotam, you'd be able to use it. In tema shelo b'chotam, if it's not with a seal, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. A kol shekhen with a seal, and it's left as a question in the Yerushalmi, that is. Okay, fine. Next is halacha tet. Hashloach yichad v'pikadon. Now, shloach yichad, we talked about the fact, is if you're entrusted with looking after something, and then you end up using it for your own purposes, that's effectively like stealing. You're not allowed to. So the question is, how do we deal with that situation? So Beit Shammai says, Yilakeh b'chaser v'yeter. Yilakeh b'chaser v'yeter means, let's say the animal had wool and then you took it off, you took it for yourself and sheared it. You'd have to pay for the animal and the wool. Or prior to that, let's say it's the other way around. It didn't have wool when you started using it and then it developed wool. So in other words, either way, the person who shloach yichad loses out. He has to pay the full value of, say, the sheep with the wool. Whether it had or didn't have developed and he removed it, doesn't make a difference. That's the way you understand Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, Omrim b'shat hotza'ah. Now, shat hotza'ah can sound in Beit Balim, time he took it, but this Rashi actually explains that it refers to, not the Rishami, obviously, in the Bavli, that shat hotza'ah means at the time he was shaleach yad. From that point onwards, look at the value, it's like a geneva. That's what he has to pay back. Okay. Rabbi Akiva says, k'shat hatzviyah. What does he have to pay back? The time where he's taken to Beit Din. Okay, so in other words, what slice of time do we evaluate the compensation? Well, that's going to be it's debated. Let's continue. What is someone who choshev lishloach yad? Now, choshev, how do you know what's going in someone's head? Generally, we say choshev, at least according to the Mefarshim here, it means he said it to someone. So someone's looking up to someone's object, says, "Look, you know, I don't know, he needed it." Hammer, he says, "Oh, fantastic! I've bought a hammer. When I go home, I'm going to use it." So he's told other people he's going to use it. He said he's going to use it. That will be shloach yad. The pikadon on this hammer that he was entrusted with. So if someone just says it, Choshev lishloach Beit Shammai says already from that time is chayev. It's already considered like shlichat yad v'pikadon. Habet Hillel says no, ain chayev ad shishlach yad. He has to actually physically shloach yad. Again, what that means, we'll discuss in the Gemara. That's also debated in this extension we're going to be discussing. Ketzad, how so? This is a different how so. It doesn't relate to what we just said. Hitat chavir. Let's say someone tipped over a barrel that he was entrusted to look after. V'natal revit, and he took a revit's worth. V'nishbara, and then the barrel went back to look where it was. He just tilted a bit to get some wine out, and it went back upright. Then later, the barrel ended up breaking through some sort of onus. He's only chayv to pay the revit, okay? Because it was shalach yad b'revit. However, he had a higbiha. If he picked it up, the fact of shalach with a higbiha, he was kona the whole thing now. When he's kona on that time, even if he only took a revit, the nishbara breaks his chayv. In that situation, he's chayv to pay the whole amount because that shlichat yad is now considered as gone of the entire thing, despite the fact you only really want to take your revit. We'll discuss this how it works. Now, there's a difference is he had a the kinyan versus the tipping it into a kinyan whole thing. It just skimmed off a bit of the top. Okay, what to do in the Gemara? Hashulech ha-bepikadon. Keni madidi b'kishat tviato v'beitin. Okay, the mission for kishat tviya, meaning tviato v'beitin, this is shitat beit Rabbi Akiva. We evaluate the compensation the time it was taken, the time he was taken to beitin. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyah says b'shem Rav. Halach is like Rabbi Akiva, afilu beit Hillel l'chol kinyanav. I mean, despite the fact that machlok beit Shammai beit Hillel, we see here that halach is like, he seems to say you go like Rabbi Akiva, despite the fact beit Hillel's cholok on. So afilu mean like more like an afalpi. Rav Bun Bar Chiya says ma'aseh havad incident v'hora Rabbi hold like Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva wins in this case, halachically at least. So Amrav Hoshaya, that's b'she'ein edim, aval im yesh edim. That's when there are no edim for shlichat yad. Aval im yesh edim, if there are edim, kol amamode al hadar Rabbi Akiva. That's a funny way you're meant to read this. Kol amamode Rabbi Akiva really means that even Rabbi Akiva would agree with Beit Hillel that the time the shlichat yad. Even though that doesn't sound like it in the words I just read. Guess I have to read it. I'll just show you the Mara Fulda for your benefit. He says, Mubarba Washamlo. Shot, but the problem is, it doesn't make it. In other words, that's what we just said, that Rabbi Kiva would agree that it's a time, if there were witnesses who would agree with Rabbi Kiva. However, he points out, Mishum, Lashon, Kol Amamodi, Lahad, Rabbi Kiva, Mashmada Elkai. It seems to be that everyone agrees with Rabbi Kiva. Vainu, it should be Tata Tviyad Beitin. So the Lashon doesn't fit with Ex Perush. So therefore, Efshar, maybe the Giris is different. The Pligi, the Machloket, is when there aren't any Edim. Sorry, where there are Edim. But if there aren't Edim, then everyone agrees, right? That's how you switch around. Meaning the machloket seems to be if there are Edim, nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva says you go by Shatviya. But if there aren't, then kol amamade, everyone would agree to Rabbi Akiva. That's how he tries to. In other words, you need some sort of gears to change to make sense of this. And that's what he's suggesting is another way of reading it. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Ata uvde kamei Rabbi Yas, and he also taught like Hovahorik Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara asks, why is it just by speaking, you can already consider shlichot yad. So my time of the Beit Shammai, says, "I call davar pesha." Now that's davar pesha. You see the word davar meaning words. Umama came Beit Hillel. How does he work a call davar pesha? That's tiftach sheshalach boyad al yedei shaliach. In other words, davar pesha means you can even do al yedei shaliach, meaning you instructed someone, not just by expressing intent like Beit Shammai says. Okay. Now Rav Yossi ben Chanina baye. Oh, now. So here, I think you probably have the end of the perek. I think. Now, what I have in the Oz Vahadar, that's why I said it was going to be a bit of a longer shir, is they bring, just on the side, it says they bring from where is it? Here, I've got it here. Betfusim, up here, the Petach Hanan of the Chida, he brings a whole lot of, basically, a broader Girsa that's not in the Ketav Yad Leiden that we've referenced in the past, but a different Ketav Yad. There's a whole section here that's basically mirrors what we see in Masechta Shavuot. So I've got it in my Gemara. I'm pretty sure you don't have it in yours. So I'm going to share with you this, if you don't mind. Okay? This is what we're going to be reading from. All right? So Rabbi Yossi ben Chena Baye. Okay? I'm going to read from my Gemara, and hopefully I'll just be able to scroll when appropriate. Let's continue. So Rabbi Yossi ben Chena Baye, Mat Amar, does it mean higbia, when he picks it out, is it too little? Or does he have to natal as well? I mean, if you remember before when it said in the Mishnah, higbia, if you picked it up to take a revit, we said at that point onwards, something happened from that point onwards, it was a shlichet yad, and then therefore you chayiv even if he puts it down for the whole barrel. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Okay? That's on the Ketzad. So the question is, doesn't he have to physically do some sort of chisaron? Has to take something out of it, or is it just enough to pick it up with that intent to do so? I'm still doing a maaseh. It's not just dibur like Beit Hillel. It's a Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel saying I'm doing a maaseh. I picked the whole thing up, but do I have to have a chisaron as well? That's the question. The Gemara says, "V'ha tani Reb Yoshaya nishbara." Now here, I'll just read the Pnei Moshe because it's very interesting. Here, they printed the in my Gemara, they printed the Pnei Moshe from Masechta Shavuot. So it says that is Hatan Reb Hoshaya, Hada Amram Behita Tachavit Natal Revit V'Nishbara Enu Meshalem El Revit. That where it says you tip it over to get a Revit, just when you tip it, that is, you'd be chayv a Revit. That's when it breaks. Aval Echmitza, let's say, and this is if you look at the Mishnah or Gemara, you're familiar with this as well, that if when you took out a little bit, hichmitza, it vinegarized, then you've got to pay the whole amount. Because when you tipped it over to get a little bit out, granted you didn't pick the whole thing up, but by removing some of the liquid and introducing the airspace, that encourages the vinegarization of the wine. So therefore, when it's not full, that's going to vinegarize. So too, therefore, in the sefer, even according to the shita that says you need some sort of chisaron, mechayev, you be chayev even if you just pick it up. In this case, why? Mishum demichale, because it's to his benefit when he picked it up, even if you only wanted the ravit, that the whole chavit would be full. But therefore, because the whole chavit is now basis for this ravit, for the ravit that he wanted, for it to not vinegarize, because as soon as there's empty space, it's going to vinegarize. The kiman shiratzah li tol ravit naseh shoel al chavit, every scholar of the whole chavit. So in other words, what the Pnei Moshe seems to be doing here with this line of the Gemara, is he's saying that despite the fact, yes, it seems to be a question whether shlichat yad requires a actual chisaron, in the case here where he picked up a barrel to take a ravit, since it requires the whole barrel to preserve the ravit that he wants, he's shoel on the whole barrel, even if there's no chisaron, it'd be chayav. Okay, as shlichut yad. Let's continue. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yavel says b'shem shlichut yad shneimar b'shem mechinam eino chayv ad shat sheyechaser. That's his opinion. It has some sort of chisaron, as we said, some sort of a detraction. Rav Shmuel bar kamei Rav Yavel. Ma atamar chiser afilu lo chiser. The same question. Does any chiseron on? Amar v'lo dahi she'ilta. It isn't this question we just saw up above. The real sibeh chanina litol or natal, right? In Tamer Litol, if you say that the intention was to take it, meaning he picked it up Litol, then even without a Chisaron. If you say that he picked it up La Natal and he took it, then it requires a Chisaron. So that's one Nafgamina. The next Nafgamina is in Tamer Litol, that Hichzira, in other words, if you say that he's already Chayv, if he picked it up without even taking anything out, just by in order to take it out, by picking it up, now, the Girsi I've got in front of me is Patur. However, also you've got in front of you, the other Girsi say it's Chayav. It makes sense to say Chayav. I don't really understand the Pnei Moshe's explanation for it that explains the Patur, because again, it was a Shlichet Yad. I mean, Tema Natal, if you say Dafke if he's only Natal, then Echzir Limkomo Patur. Makom Acher, Chayav. Okay? That if only for the Natal, because he didn't take it out, then it would. So once he's taken it out, it would be considered, if you like, that the moving is being Latzorcho. Okay? And therefore, once it's returned back to his place, then it's like we explained, once it's returned Limkomo, then it's Patur. Okay? Think that's it. I think that's the idea, if I'm not mistaken. The Pnei Moshe, by the way, when he says Patur, it says because then it's not considered Kamor till to the Tzorcha, but I don't really understand that, I'll be honest. Okay, let's continue. Rav Al says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, Ne'er mashmira b'shom echina, v'ne'er mashmira b'shom esachar. V'lo dam yishmir sh'ne'er ma b'shom echina, l'shmir l'shom esachar. Meaning, you got shmir ba bo'yth ha'shom echina m'shom esachar. Shmir sh'ne'er ma b'shom echina, kivan sh'shemar kol tzor kol patur. Along as a shomer does a full shmir, he's patur. Shmir sh'ne'er b'shom esachar, afilu kifo chumat barzel. Even if you put iron walls around it. Now, I'll explain it like Pnei Moshe, like the way the art scroll. Pnei Moshe says, and it comes because, actually, I'll show you the Pnei Moshe now. He says, V'shom ha-sachar, this is Dimlachil Kivan Shishimer, V'shom ha-sachar ein mishar neto ele begufo. When it comes to shom ha-sachar, you're paid to look after, therefore we look at your body. We have to, you've got to look after it with your full effort. You're being paid. But we only assess it based on the goof of the shomer. If he was able to do this shmira, in other words, we look at it as if he was standing there. Would he have been able to look after it? Fine. If not, not. In other words, look at him. Because again, that's the level, that's what it means by extra level of shmira. However, don't look at Acher, meaning if it was his next door neighbor who's got the bulging muscles, no, we don't assess it by him. That's kind of the way the Pnei Moshe explains it. Okay. Now, Rabbi Elazar says, B'shem Rabbo Shai, Ne'er mah shlichut yad b'shom mechina, v'ne'er mah shlichut yad b'shom esachar. V'lo dam yad shlichut yad sh'ne'er mah b'shom mechina, l'shlichut yad sh'ne'er mah b'shom esachar. Meaning the shlichut yad that's considered an offense by shom mechina is different to shom esachar. Why? Shlichu When it comes to Shomer Shchinam, when is it considered Shlichu Yad? When is it considered effectively stealing it? That's when he draws it towards him. He does some sort of kinyan, if you like. He's taken the objects of entrust, look after, and he took it for himself. However, Shlichu Yad It seems to me there's a higher level, or there's a lower, I should say, there's a lower threshold of what's going to Shlichu Yad by Shomer Shchinam, even if he just puts his stick on the item he's looking after. That would be considered Shlichu Yad. I'm sorry, I just found out where you're up to. I'll just scroll down. Okay. Chayav, that's we're up to here. Okay, fine. The Tani Rebbe, again, one second. Chayav, so Shama Rebbe Yosa, yeah, Shama Rebbe Yossi ben Noharai, the Amar Ani Eini Mekabel Alayi et I accept this. Ela, what difference does it make? Ela Chadzo V'Chadzo Eino Chayav Ad Shlichu Yad is a universal concept. Why are you changing the threshold of Shlichu Yad is between two different Shomrim? Now, Rav Imi now brings a proof. He says, "No, I can bring it from a Torah." And the Torah, Rav Imi says, "B'shem Rav Elazar, v'tani Rav Yoshaya ken lo yomar shlichut yad." The Torah didn't have to teach us shlichut yad. But careful here. For the gusset chains I'm doing, b'shomer chinam she'eino tzrich. I didn't need to learn shlichut yad by shomer chinam. Hayiti lemer, I could have learned it from shomer sachar. Ma shomer sachar shemir la'av Torah. When it comes to a Shomer Shchinah, they're more machmir. Eino chayev, it'd only be chayev ad shimshoch, meaning shlichut yad is only once you draw towards you, Shomer Shchinah, which is more
Rami,
secure.
it is exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I know, I
Rami,
know, I know, I know, I know, I
it's
know. That's what I'm saying. These Gilsa changes, Rebbe Yisrael, these Gilsa changes, I said, watch the Gilsa changes, because this is the Pnei Moshe makes these Gilsa changes. Okay? You'll see why.
Okay.
So, I'll go over it again to show what I'm changing. Tanu b'shaya ken, afilu shlichan yamal b'shomer chinam, that's a Gilsa change, She'eino tzurich hayiti lamed, I could have learned for Shomer Sachar. Ma im noser Sachar, just because Shomer Sachar, now that's the normal Gersa, Sheikh Mir Toros Machmir, Eino Chayv Ad Shimshoch. Shomer Chinam, which will make Hil Kal V'Chomer, Eino Din Shiloh Yeh Chayv Ad Shimshoch, Shibi Chayv Ad Shimshoch. So therefore, Le'ez Edvar Ne'ema, why do I need Shishlichu Yad B'Shomer Chinam, Gersa change, She'eino tzurich. Rather, lachmir al shomer sachar gives a change. Kima chinech makalav the terminal love. So the other meaner is that the shomer chinam was unnecessary. The fact that, and I could have learned the obligation of shomer chinam from shomer sachar because shomer sachar mal machmir. It's only ad if the assumption is it must be that only if you shoch the shluchik yad is if you grab it. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to the shomer chinam is lachmir love. Well, how? The Gemara doesn't like it. Amar lo amale Rabbi Yosi imata omer ken nimtza lamed kal v'chomer lachmir. How can you do that? How can you say that kal v'chomer is lachmir alav? Meaning, you're saying now that we're taking something more kal. Meaning, you're saying that the absence of shomer chinam without it is sorry the absence of shomer chinam that you would have learned it for shomer sachar. That doesn't make sense. Shomer chasom o machmir. So it says, I could have said, "Ma im nosa sacha sheikh mira Torah bo enu chayv ad shad shimshoch shomechina." Maybe shekila about Torah, afilu mashach yeh patur. Maybe if he did mashicha, it would be patur. So therefore, rather no eli kene. This is with a few gemara cases changes to Israel. Eli kene lo yomar shluchu yad shneamar b'shomer sachar. No, you got it wrong. The superfluous pasuk wasn't shomer. Well, wasn't by shomer chinam. It was by shomer sachar. She'eino tzarich, hayitu lamed, I could have learned that from Shomer Chinam. Ma Shomer Chinam shkila Torah bo einu chayv ad shat shimshoch. When it comes to Shomer Chinam, I had just taught Shomer Chinam. Then I would have known that I would have learned that you chayv if you do meshicha on this pikadon. In other words, consider shlichu yad if you do that. Noser sachar shichmir bo haTorah, when it comes to nasachar, dos momach, when kibben shemashach yechayav, kav chomer bichayav. Leizu Torah, therefore, why did Torah need to teach us as well the concept of shlichu yad by Shomer Sachar? Now let's show Chasachar she'ino tzrich lachmir alav al shomer Chasachar. So kibushin machalav b'tarmilo alav chayav. Simply once you put the if you like the you put the your staff or your stick on top of it, that's the lower threshold, the more machmir threshold, if you like. What's called shluchu yad by shomer Chasachar. Okay, with that said, hadrach perak hamafkid etzel chavero, hadrach perak hamafkid etzel chavero, hadrach perak hamafkid etzel chavero. Now the next perak is called in Bavli. It's called perak hazav. In Yerushalmi, this is called Perek HaKesef. Why? Because the first line of Mishnah is a different Gersa, as we'll see in the Gemara. It says HaKesef Konat HaZav, HaZav Eino Konat HaKesef. So it's not so obvious always in terms of what the next the next prakima called, like we assumed, like last time he was trying when he was Elamitzias or whatever it was. So here's called Parakakesa. So the idea is when you've got a kinyan, when you're doing a kinyan of metaltolin, the meshicha on the pre, meaning the product, not the money, is what closes a deal. So once he does meshicha on the product, let's say a particular metaltolin fruit, then the person's obligated to pay. Okay, that's what closes a deal. Okay, so when it comes to different denominations in coins, the question is what's the pre and what's the kesef? So assumption here is a kesef koneh et hazav, meaning the zahav, according to this understanding that we have here, is considered the more chashuv coin, and therefore it's considered the money here. So therefore, the kesef, this is Yerushalmi's reading, the kesef is considered the, if you like, the is considered the product, the pre. So the mishicha of the kesef is koneh the zahav, meaning it requires the person to pay the zahav. V'azav eino koneh ta kesef. Similarly, a nechoshet koneh ta kesef. Doing mishicha on the nechoshet, which is a lower chashivat of a coin, is therefore considered the pre, considered the product that would acquire, meaning obligate the other party now in this transaction of conversions of coins to pay the kesef. V'akesef eino koneh ta nechoshet. Similarly, ma'ot ra'ot, bad or coins that are no longer, say, fluid, cannot acquire the afot, the afot in a konot ra'ot. Again, Meshicha on the pre acquires the kesef, and not the other way around, obligates a kesef. Asimon is a token. Asimon konot matbeva in a konot asimon. Same idea. Asimon is the pre, therefore, Meshicha by one party on the simon obligates the other party now to pay the matbeva, and not the other way around. The metaltolin konet mapea, the mapea eno konet metaltolin. So similarly, movable objects, you do meshicha on that pre, that now, or the movable object, that closes the kinyan, the person has to pay, but taking the money doesn't close the kinyan. Again, they've got the mishapar and all those other things, but we'll leave that aside for the moment. Let's now look at the Gemara. Zeakla kol davar, kol, sorry, kol, sorry, zeakla shel davar, kol hayarud mechavero konet chavero. So the idea is, according to the Yerushalmi's reading the Mishnah, the reason why kesef is koneh to zahav and nechoshet koneh to kesef is anything that's lower chashivot is considered the pre when it comes to money than the more chashuv coin. That's considered the matbeah. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, mantanita Rabbi, who's the author of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Merabi. Amale avui chazor macha. He said, go back on it. V'tani kahada d'tani Rabbi Chiya. You should go like the Amale avui, his father said. I think it's his father, right? you should go back to what Reb Chiya taught, which is Azav Koneta Kesef. Sorry, I can get rid of this now. Azav Koneta Kesef, which is why we have it in the Bavli. So I'm really Lena Chazarbi. I'm not going to go back. By the way, the rationale there by the Bavli is what's considered more fluid. That's what's going to be more Kesef. It's not based on Chashivut. So Kesef is much more fluid than Zahav. Like 24 silver coins is one dinar Zahav, I think it is. So Amalei Leina Chazarbi, I'm not going to Choser Daad Dohavad Chelcha Alecha. While your strength was honoring you, it sounds like your intellectual strength. Atnit, you taught over Kesef Koneta Zav, like we have here. Now Milta de Rebbe Amra Zav Kepeirot, Manita Amar Zav Kesef Kepeirot. So you see the implication of the machlok in terms of how we what gears we're going to have is what's considered the payrot. What Rebbe said, Zav is the payrod. According to our Mishnah, Kesef is the payrod. Now, Barat de Rebbe Chia Ruba, Osfat le Reb Rab Dinarim. He lent out, it's a she, the daughter of Rebbe Chia, lent to Rab Dinarim, gold coins. Now, the point is, the gold coins changed in value. So the question was, she asked, can he return that same sum of money back to me? It was 10 gold coins, for example. Can I receive those 10 gold coins back, despite the fact the value in gold, the value of gold coins increased? Would it be a question of ribbit? So after she asked that, she asked her father, Amma, you can take it because dinan tamim v'takilin. You can take like these good gold coins. Now, what's behind this idea? The question is, if you hold it as a coin, it's matbea. Then it's not considered ribbit. If you consider gold coins like a metadla chetzer, then it's like being malveseya baseya, meaning I can lend out a. It's like it has a problem of ribbit. We'll get to this, Mr. Shem, soon. But if I give you a lend, sorry, lend you a kilo of wheat, I can't expect a killer whale to give him back because if it increases in value, I'll be effectively getting rid of it. I'll be ch charging interest. Okay? So the nafgamina here is, do we look at this gold coin as a pre, effectively, or do we look at it as money? If it's money, it's no problem. It's just like, you know, borrowing US dollars and paying back in US dollars as opposed to shekels and shekels, even though the currencies fluctuate. Okay? Okay. So Mibarad can really learn from it. So I'm question exactly why, what's even the suspicion here, but whatever. So the Gemara now says, Amarav Idi Af Abba, meaning Abba, who is Avoy the Shmuel, Baikame Rebbe, Dinar, can I lend out dinar with expectation to be paid back in gold coins? Amarle Mutar, yes you can. Amarav Yaakov Bar Acha, Af Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Shlakish, Terveu Marin Mutar, that both also taught Mutar Lavot Dinar, that gold coins are considered like a currency, like a money, and there's no problem with lending gold coins to be paid back in gold coins. It's not considered ribbit, even if the value of a gold coin to, say, other coins fluctuates. Okay, so hold up. Have a good day.